This is Marcy Schwartz and Shulamit Bastaki for the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. It is July 28th and we are interviewing Mrs. Malvina Markovic. Mrs. Markovic, can you tell me what your parents' names were, their full names?
David. My father is David and my mother was Shelia.
And how many brothers and sisters have you had?
Four brothers and five sisters.
And can you tell us their names?
Yeah. My older brother was Yossel. My second brother was Avrum. The third brother, Herschel. Fourth brother, Wolf. My older sister was Yemta. Second sister was Ruchel. The third was Gittel. The fourth was Leah, and the fifth, myself.
So you're the baby of the family?
Yeah.
And could you again tell us where you were born or where your parents came from?
My mother came from Bachova. My father was born in Loza. I also was born in Loza.
And this is in Czechoslovakia?
Czechoslovakia. And My grandmother was also born in Loza.
You remember your grandmother?
Yeah, her name was she died. I was away.
That's all right. Can you tell us a little bit about what the community was like that you lived in?
Very small community, but 25 members in the shul. And we had farming. My older brother had a business, eggs, wholesale. He was going to Prague. He was a salesman. He was a partner with somebody in Hirsch, and he's the one hold on the family.
He supported the family?
He supported the family. He never was married. He was killed in Russia.
As a prisoner?
As a prisoner. My other brother was in Russia at the same time, and he was looking for him. And he couldn't find, a night before somebody saw him, the next day nobody saw him. They didn't know how and what happened to him. We couldn't find out anything. They say that the Russian killed him. What they did, we'd never know. Also my sister, Yemta, Ruchel and Gittel, we all went to Auschwitz together. Each one had six kids. And all of them to the gas chamber one time. We all went together.
Did any of your brothers go with you to to Auschwitz?
No.
So they were all, what happened to the other brothers?
One brother also got killed. Two brothers was left. There were two brothers together. One left and one was sick and he stayed. The sick one is alive and the other one, they killed him unaware as he was walking on the road.
The Russians killed him?
We don't know who killed him. It could be the Germans killed him. I think the Germans, because that time wasn't yet the Russian there.
You were the only single girl?
No, my sister also single.
And she survived with you?
Yeah, we were together steady.
And that was, which sister was that?
Leah.
And she had no children?
She got married after the war. She had three daughters.
So you went through the war experience together?
Yeah, steady together. We never left each side. Always together. Wherever we went, we always together.
Can we go back a little bit to your hometown?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what it was like living in your hometown?
wasn't too happy place. It was a little place, and there was no schooling much. The schooling was from the Catholic Church. They gave the schooling for everybody. There was actually very little schooling there.
So when you say there were 25 members of the shul,
Jewish,
how large of a population was the town, non-Jewish?
I would say close to 80 families.
Okay. So you went to a Catholic school?
It wasn't, they didn't teach Catholic, they were just teaching, I mean, it wasn't, when they had Catholic things, we walked out, okay. We didn't have to stay. They just taught, like, the 8th grade.
Right.
But the teachers, later on already, the Czechs started to bring in, but they started to learn Russian. And I went away when I was 10 years old. I went to my sister in the city.
What city was that?
Košice. I stayed there with my sister till Germany sent me home.
Where was Košice then?
This is Czechoslovakia.
And the Germans sent you back to your parents'
house? Parents' house, yeah.
So how long did you stay with your sister then?
Well, about 4 or 5 years.
Did you go to school there?
Yeah, but the war was there. Mm-hmm. See, you were Czech and the Hungarian took it over. They were fighting.
Okay.
So there were, when they were fighting, there was no schooling. So then I started to go in the Czech school. And there was, what I remember was war there.
Mm-hmm. What year did the Hungarian take over?
They took us over in 42.
Do you remember were you friendly, or did you have friends in your town that were not Jewish? Were there problems between Jews and Gentiles?
No, we didn't have no problem. We didn't go with Jewish dates. There was not such a thing in Europe to have dates. Mm-hmm. We were very distant. I mean, we talked, we said hello, we were friendly with them, but associate not too much.
So you were friends in school?
Yeah,
but
in school,
but socializing, yeah. you stayed with the Jewish children?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you feel any anti-Semitism or anything like
that?
That
time, it was, but not as much.
In what form did it come out?
It came when Hitler said to take all the Jews. Everybody was for it. They took everything away from us.
But you didn't feel that before?
No.
Before Hitler came?
No.
Mrs. Markovic, you were in a religious home, in a traditionally Orthodox home. Could you describe that to us, how it was then?
Well, it was like chickens. They came Friday. The shoyachet came Friday. We made kosher the same day and cooked. We didn't have no freezers, no frigidaires. We just, like Friday was, we get ready for Shabbos. Through the week we never had any meat. Everything was dairy. We had one cow. Sometimes we had two cows. And we were farming. My father with my brother was in business with eggs. So that kept us going. People were very poor there, very poor. Worse than people on welfare here.
But you kept belief in God and
everybody. There was not such a thing that anybody went away from religious. There wasn't such a thing.
Did your brothers have Hebrew or Jewish teaching?
Yeah. We had a rabbi in our house.
Who lived in your house?
Everybody took him for, let's say, a month. Mm-hmm. There was no place that he could teach. So they were in our house. The next month was in another house. Depends how many children you had in Cheder. And every month, they were somewhere else by us. We had four boys, so we had 4 weeks. My older brother went to the Sackmerer. He was going away to the yeshiva. Two brothers went away to the yeshiva when they got older. The two younger ones didn't go, but they learned local.
And which yeshiva did they go to?
Oh, I don't remember.
And they stayed away?
They stayed away. We had boys in our house sleeping over. They were going to cheder. And they stayed, and we gave them food. And they went every day to a different house to eat. Day.
Right.
Everybody had them for a day. And they slept in our house. We had a bigger house. So the cheder sometimes was in our house, sometimes somewhere else. But that's where they taught. There wasn't schooling. That you went away. We kept one rabbi, and that one rabbi was teaching the children.
And did you have a structure, a synagogue? Was there a shul?
Yeah,
we had a shul.
We built a shul. It was about 100 foot away from our house. It was close by.
When the boys were learning cheder, did they also go to public school?
Yeah. They start at 5 o'clock in the morning to learn. They learn till they have to go to school. Then they went to school and they came home and went back to cheder and learned till it got dark.
And as a child, what did you do for entertainment or for amusement or...?
Nothing. There was nothing there. Absolutely nothing.
So you stayed around the house?
Around the house.
And
I played with the kids.
Right. And as young girls, were you taught handiwork or...
Yeah,
sewing?
We embroidered. We did a lot of embroidering, knitting, a lot of knitting, sweaters, socks. Everything was made by hand. All the socks, whoever wear, made by hand. My sister made tzitzis too. All her kids, she had 6 kids, everyone had knitted things. She was knitting through the night. Her husband was away. They took him away. So that's why all my sisters was with us.
So all your sisters moved back home?
Yeah.
Before the war, did they live in other towns?
Yes.
They all moved away?
They all moved away and they came back because they sent them back home. And it was bedtime. And the husbands, they took away for work. So we had to support. My job, when I was already in 1890, I went and made designs for the walls. A painter. I was
Is
a painter.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like a stencil?
Stencil, you know. I was rolling down the stencils to make. And one day we walked from one place to another place, me and my sister, because we had to feed all those kids, 18 nieces and nephews. And we went to work, me and my sister, to put those designs, so we made food. They gave us food and eggs and different things.
You did that in your town, or did you
in
go to other towns?
Other towns too. I went even to the priest? The priest. In the priest's house we worked too.
So you were creative?
Yeah, we did a lot of work for the priest. They liked our work. And we did lines on the top, school teachers, we worked. We did a lot of work. I did very good work.
Well, you must if you went from town to town.
From town to town, we made 40 rooms in one day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
40 rooms?
Rooms,
in one day?
Just the designs. We didn't paint, just the design. It took us a half an hour. I was fast worker, you know, it's 1918. So we made 40 rooms.
Can you still draw today?
Yeah, I could still do it. I always did my own painting, everything myself. I never hired a painter.
You don't have to. You don't have to. Do you remember how the teachers reacted to you or the type of subjects you learned in school or anything like that? You learned in what language?
Russian.
In Russian.
And I don't know anything about Russian because I don't speak it for the since the war, neither Czech, neither Hungarian, Midrasha. I don't speak the languages.
So you only speak English and Hebrew. Do you, as a young girl, what was your Hebrew education? How did?
Well, I had a cousin, and he taught me to read Hebrew. I had a very hard time to learn. I don't know what, you know, something happened when I fell once. And I really had a hard time to learn, to memorize. Whatever I see, I could do anything. To learn, I had a real hard time. Anything, I put down floors, blocks, tiles, bedrooms, here in America. Anything I see, I could do it. I was knitting suits.
Is that right?
I sew, I made bed clothes, everything I could do. But not from the book, just on my own, just to see it.
It's a wonderful talent.
Just to see it, I could do it. I was in McKeesport. I was the cook and the baker, managed the whole kitchen. I taught all the ladies how to make the rolls, how to make the kippah, you know. I was there, the manager and the cook.
Mrs. Markovic, so you learned the traditions of Judaism from your mother, or
yeah.
And that's how the girls learned?
Right. But my older sister learned from the boys, because the cheder was right there. And she was sitting and learned with the boys. Oh, my older
They let them sit and learn.
She knew Chumash and Rashi, my older sisters. When I grew up, there was no more cheder in my house, because I was the youngest one. I was 6 years old when my older sister got married. So more like in 1 year, three sisters got married. So I was the only one left that there was no cheder in our house.
At the time of the war, how many single brothers and sisters were there still living at home? Not to come back,
yeah.
But still at home.
My older brother and a younger brother. Two brothers were married. They were away. And the three sisters were married. So we were four single.
And then do you remember when the loss came to your town the Nuremberg laws. Do you remember when that started happening, when your freedoms were taken away from you?
Well, that happened in 43. They were talking they're gonna come and take us away. So Pesach, we were still home. We baked matzahs.
In Pesach of 43?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were still home. And we baked the matzahs before Pesach, and we stayed home Pesach home. After Pesach, a couple days after Pesach, they got us out. They got an order, we have to get packed and leave the house.
Until then, you were still allowed to go about your everyday business?
No, they took away all the business.
Okay, do you remember when that was?
I got in trouble a little bit because, see, I went get together eggs because we were in egg business. Mm-hmm. So I went house to house to buy eggs. And somebody reported me that I went and picked up. So my husband came with a bag that time for a visit. He was not far, so he asked the guy if he could come visit us. So I got the eggs for him to take it for the serviceman. So I didn't get in trouble. That was my excuse, that I picked up the eggs and gave it to him. And he took it for the service.
And you weren't married then? Though.
No, I was single.
Do you remember, did you have to wear a yellow band? Do you remember how the...
We didn't wear too long because they took us right away. As soon as it started, they took us right away. So we didn't wear that long.
So there wasn't too much time from the time that the Hungarians took over to the time you were deported.
Right, wasn't too much time.
A year?
A year.
Was anybody in your family, or you aware of anything that was going on in Poland
they were
or
talking,
in Germany?
They were talking. Nobody believed it.
Sure.
They were talking. They're getting, because they were talking. Actually, one of my brother was in Poland, and he came back from there. And he said they were killing Jews there. And they were shooting, and they dig their own grave. And he came back and took him to Auschwitz. He came back just before they got us together, home. And he went to Auschwitz.
With you?
With all the kids, with six of his kids. And they chose him. In Auschwitz, he burned his own family. Him and another brother-in-law. He also went. And they chose him and he burned his own family. They kept him for 3 months. He burned them, they burned them.
He was a Sonderkommando.
Yeah.
And then they took you to a ghetto.
Yeah.
And
to Munkács.
And how long were you in the ghetto?
We were there about 2 weeks.
And then from the ghetto, you went on a train to Auschwitz. Can you describe your first impressions of Auschwitz?
Soon I got to Auschwitz. I find somebody who I know. She told me right away everything. I know a day after that nobody's alive anymore. She told me nobody. Her sister went together with my sister too. She says they're all dead. She couldn't save nobody. She was there 4 years. They took the Polish people before. And I know next day everything. He was putting something in the food that we we didn't know anything what was going on. I mean, I knew that they're dead. But a lot of people didn't know that, what I know. Because I did find her. She was a friend of mine. And she told me. Because I told her that we got a card from her. That she wrote she's in a crematorium, in a holding place. I saw that card, and I told her that I did see that card. She said, they made them to ride at home, because she had a brother living there. And I happened to be there, that was in Košice, where her brother lived. And I was there with my sister, so I know the family very well, and her too. She visited once in a while her brother. So we were friends. And she told me, she says, you'll never see them, they're all dead. She says, over there at the chimney, and they're burning them down. That's it.
And you were still with your sister and
Yeah, we never left the hands. We always together. We went to wash together, we went, excuse me, everywhere. Because we were afraid we'd be separated.
Were you in the main lager?
Yeah,
in Auschwitz.
Yeah, they took us to work. See, who worked, they put numbers. So we went every day out to work. 5 o'clock we got up, we had to stay an hour. They counted us. Then we went to work. When we came back, we had to stay another hour. They counted us, and we all came back. And we stayed there. Outside, then I started to work inside later on. I didn't go out and work.
What kind of work did you do outside?
We dig ditches, bunkers that they could hit there.
And then inside?
Inside, I just made the beds because we finished our work outside.
And what kind of food did you have during the day?
We hear every day the same thing, never changed. They put some kind of vegetable, a few potatoes mashed up. Sometimes they put ground meat in it, just to see it's there. They put pig meat pieces. You couldn't smell that. Throw it out. And that was every day in Auschwitz. Just put some grass. I don't know exactly know what that was. And this was every day the same thing. It never changed.
And then after, how long were you in Auschwitz? You went to Auschwitz when?
After Pesach, that could be April. Mm-hmm. And we stayed till, I think, October or November. Then we went to Belsenbergen. Belsenbergen, we stayed there till January. 3 months we were there. Middle of February, we stayed in Belsenbergen. In Belsenbergen, we had food, yellow beets. They feed the cows with that. That was every day, yellow beets. No salt, no nothing, no fat. Just those beets were cooked in water. This was every day for 3 months.
And how many times a day did they give it to you?
Once a day. The morning you got coffee and that piece of bread for a whole day. Night you got coffee and no food.
There was no work in
that. Someday we got a piece of herring. A piece of herring they were giving. Thinking like him, I don't know what kind it was.
There was no work though in Bergen-Belsen.
No, nobody worked there.
And from Bergen-Belsen you went to?
Aschersleben, Germany, in a factory. We worked in a factory. After Pesach.
How were you selected for these different transports? From Auschwitz to Bergen-Belsen and then...
It just came a transport, you go on.
You volunteered to go?
Yeah.
From
Belsenbergen, I definitely want to get away. I got sick, very sick. And my heart told me to get out of there. If a transport can get out, no matter where we go, and if we go to get killed, I didn't want to stay there. Just, my sister says, you can't walk. She was carrying me. I was weighing maybe 70 pounds. She carried me. I says, I can't stay here. We have to go. I says, if I'll stay here, I'll be dead. I don't want to die here. So she listened to me. She always listened to me. She was older, but somehow she always listened to me. And we went away there, and over there we had it. We worked. We got a little more food. More bread. I was the bread cutter in that place because nobody knew how to cut exactly right the bread. God forbid somebody should get a piece of bread bigger than the other one, then it's a fight. So I was the bread cutter there, and I always took the smaller portion, and they liked it. So all the months we were there, that was my job, to cut the breads. And over there, we had it better, because they were given a portion bread at work and a portion bread at home. So we had more and better food. The food was better. And I happened to have somebody selected me, and he sent me every day a package, a French guy. He picked me. I was good-looking blonde, and my sister made me a suit, pair of pants and a jacket. Because I was so skinny to look a little better that they shouldn't take me away, you know. So she tried always to make me think that I should look a little better. And he came and stands and looks at me, and I smiled. And all of a sudden I see he comes up out the drawer and puts me a package. He was not allowed to give me because he could have been punished too.
Was he Jewish or?
No, he was French. He was French, he was working, they took him also in the war. took him away from French, and he was the cook for the Germans at night. He brought food in for the Germans every night. So every night, I got a package.
What was in your packages?
It was all Chinese, something he bred. It was very good, you know, that time.
Sure.
He really, after the war, I looked good. Nobody would believe I was in the war, because for 3 months, I got packages every day. So I looked good after the war. Nobody would say that I was, but I was very sick, and I got there, but he brought me everyday packages. When I was working daytime, he sent with another guy, with somebody else, and he brought me the packages, because we changed one night time. He always worked at night time. So 1 week I did see him, and I spoke only once to him. They were watching when we spoke, because he was not allowed to speak. But I spoke German, and he spoke a little German, because he was a French guy. And after the war, I didn't see him.
You never found out his name or anything?
No.
It's a shame.